Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. To a people enslaved by and condemned by sin, God promised a Messiah, a deliverer, a savior. In Hebrew, the word for Messiah is most literally translated as anointed one. And in English, anointed is another word for chosen. The Messiah would be God's anointed, his chosen one, to save his people. Throughout the days of the Old Testament, beginning with a promise to Adam and Eve after they fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God reiterated this word on which they could rely over and over again. And God's faithful people longed in hope for the revelation of this anointed one through whom would come a great reversal. Through the prophet Isaiah, God told them of the anointed one to come. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Captives would be delivered. Shame would be covered with righteousness. Broken hearts would be replaced with joyous ones. The anointed one of God would restore peace with God to a people who had chosen enmity against him in their sinful rebellion. He would do these things. And now he had. Reading this very scripture from the prophet Isaiah aloud in the synagogue, Jesus concluded with these words, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus fulfills all of these prophecies. St. Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, Jesus is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. Or in Greek, he is the Christ. God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. From eternity, Christ and the Spirit were one. But now, God made man in the flesh. Christ was anointed, chosen by God to save his people. And this was confirmed by the appearance of the Holy Spirit at his baptism. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Are you well pleased? Despite the preaching of good news of salvation, despite the healing of broken hearts, despite beauty for ashes, despite deliverance from bondage to sin and the devil, many are not well pleased. Acts 10:39. Peter says, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. What had they witnessed? They had witnessed Jesus doing good. They had witnessed his healings of all who were oppressed by the devil. They had seen that God was with him. With their own eyes and with their ears, they had witnessed the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of his people. So had those who killed Jesus. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the light of the glory of God, we are each made aware that we have sinned and fallen short of God's holy standard. It is hard to be well pleased by this fact, for it is a message of condemnation, even if unspoken. And besides, Jesus didn't leave this message unspoken, but he called sinners to repentance, to turn from their sin. So wicked men killed him. Why? Because silencing the voice of condemnation is a far easier thing to do than to admit that you actually deserve condemnation. The conviction of sin leads to either turning from sin or hardening yourself in it. Wicked men, hard men, killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree, which carried a message. Deuteronomy 21:23 says that one hanged on a tree is accursed by God, which means condemned by God. By silencing Christ's voice in this way, their reply to the message of condemnation that weighed so heavily on their hearts was in essence to say to Christ, I'm not condemned, you are. But here's what they didn't expect. Christ went willingly to this condemnation. Christ went willingly to the condemning curse of the cross in order to save sinners, to save those who would condemn him. Listen to how this verse is phrased, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates, God acted, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Apostle John says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Those who killed Christ didn't expect him to go willingly to the cross on their behalf, nor did they expect him to defeat it. Acts 10:40, him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, raised up from death. Jesus has been shown by God to be the Christ, to be the Messiah, to be the Savior through whom one can be made right with God. Listen to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The very voice of condemnation that mankind tried to silence by Christ's death was not only silenced by Christ's death, but it was also eradicated entirely. What man meant for evil, God meant for good, and even the good of evil men. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. In its entirety, the Old Testament, law and prophets witnessed to Jesus Christ, the anointed one, for the forgiveness of sins. And all who believe in him receive that forgiveness. Yes, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We're also told in Romans that the wages of sin is death. The cross shows us the depths of our sin. It shows us our enormous need, because it took the cross, the curse of the cross, it took the death of God's perfect Son to pay the price to God which we owed for our sin. Our sin was great. His mercy is greater. You are saved by God's grace alone, given in Christ alone, and received by faith alone. The promise of Acts 10:43 is simply this: whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, will receive forgiveness of sins. Your heart may condemn you. Satan may accuse you, but there is no sin so great, no sinner so far gone, that will not be saved as he or she trusts in Christ alone for his forgiveness. The devil may accuse you, your heart may condemn you, but the promise of God's word is that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Look on him and live. Amen.